Say Deep Roots. It's the series final of season three. It's the finale. So I'm a little pumped up this morning about it. So far, Israel's been rescued, right? They've been rescued, but they're becoming God's people, right? It's a process. Anybody know it's a process to become? Yeah, it's a process. And so far, they are learning. You know, some lessons you thought, oh, I'll never have to retaught that lesson again. They're learning to trust and comply. Those are hard words, to trust and comply. They're learning to trust and then comply. That's tough. Say, oh me, oh my. Yeah, so far, they've overcome a lot, right? We've got through this series. They've overcome a lot of stuff. They've been taught lots of lessons. I don't know what they've learned, but now we have the base of Mount Sinai. Last week, you probably remember everything I say all the time. You probably listen to this tape, and you're just like, the tape, the CD, the album, whatever it is, you know, the vinyl copy back there. Kevin's selling vinyls. But they camped at the base of Mount Sinai, which is known as God's Mountain. And it's a thorny place. And so when God begins to speak things to our lives, sometimes it brings order to us or causes us to have to change. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? I mean, it's rarely a time that he's asked me to change something that I was doing, that I shouldn't be doing, that I didn't feel uncomfortable. Because, A, he called me out on what I was doing, never comfortable. Man, I'll never forget the first time Brownie, you know, after I thought I was all that bag of chips, you're like in fifth grade or something, you're coming from some ski trip, you know. There's no eating on the bus. Yeah, no eating on the bus back in the day. We had these oranges back there. We're sneaking oranges, so, you know, eating oranges, you know. Capozzi, what? You eating oranges? No. So what you do, smiling on them? Orange dripping off my face, you know. Come on, right? Sometimes getting called out is uncomfortable, right? And he gave us four commandments last week. We'll go over them just real quick. The first one we learned is God alone is the tippity top. God alone is at the tippity top. Center your life around God alone. He gets the tippity top. He gets the best, the highest. Him first, everything else second. Say tippity top. Right. And then we learned he deserves adoration and he won't share it. He deserves his love. And he's not going to share that love because it's his love and he deserves it. And then we learn don't misuse or misrepresent his name. He don't like that. It's in the top. He commands. That's a tough word, isn't it? Commands. I never took commands very well. Was not an easy thing for me to do, to take commands. I don't know if you guys are like command takers. I wasn't. Neither was Andrew. He just won't look at me. He wasn't a command taker either. But commands that we trust him in the fourth commandment, right? Trust him and take a day of rest. I say trust him and take a day of rest. Good, that requires trust. And refocus our priorities. Isn't that so nice of God to want to give us rest and refocus our priorities? Now, Jesus reminds us in God's commands that all those commands are about what? Jeff, love, right? They're all about love. And training us to be healthy, and in our current culture, we'll call it functional. Say functional. Yeah. Healthy and functional, more like him, right? So we'll resume the Ten Commandments. Say deep roots. Exodus 20:12. Let's start there. You ready? Exodus 20:12. We're going to start out hot, Wilson Croft. You ready? Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Say, this could be a challenging Sunday. I'm going to be honest about this one. You ready? Because some of us go, oh, keep moving on this one. Honor your father and your mother. It sounds simple for some people. Some people are like, that's easy. I can do that, but if I'm honest, some people, maybe that means they got a lot to deal with, when it comes to their mother and their father? How do you honor them when maybe some parents are not or have not been honorable? Maybe they've been downright dishonorable. And worse yet, I'm a professional counselor. We get paid for our services very well. And I'll tell you this right, there are some that are violators. How do you honor that? Yeah, tough subjects for church, right? They're tender. They're thorny places, right? They're uncomfortable. And they're too deep for Sunday morning. I recommend therapy. If that touches you, call somebody. Put your skin in the game and get healthy. But this is a commandment for many that's a relevant question that we have to struggle with: honor your father and your mother. And so here's where I'm going to pull over at it is, if we have a Lord of us, if say I am the church, that means we have a Lord, right, over us. Go ask him, how do I do that? You know. Lord, you know what they did. You know what they are. You know what they are not. You know, Lord, you know. So just show me what I'm supposed to do, right? Show me what you expect of me. Not what you expect of them and their relationship and their situation. What do you expect of me? You are my Lord. What do you expect of me to do in this situation that's really hard to honor? Ever been there? I've been there. I've walked that road. God, show me how to honor and show me how to set boundaries. Show me how to honor and show me how to set boundaries. I have a slide that's been really popular on Facebook lately. You ready? It's been real popular. Forget the first part anyways. Forgiveness does not require reconnection. Say amen. Forgiveness does not require reconnection. You don't have to put yourself in the same abuse, in the same situation. You can forgive. It doesn't mean you got to go back to it. Say amen. That's fact. Say fact. Forgiveness does not require reconnection, but forgiveness itself is required. Ah, dang. But forgiveness itself is required. Say, that is hard. Yeah, you guys got to get work on that. Forgiveness does not require reconnection, but forgiveness itself is required. Both are true. I'm not putting it up there. Don't stress, media team. But in Matthew 6, Jesus says, forgive or you can't be forgiven. Bang. Man, that socked me in the jaw the first time I read it. Read it for the real first time where I knew Jesus and I knew he was talking to me and I knew I needed to do something with it. Not like, oh, that's a good verse. Like, oh, the Lord. I went through a list of people. I called them. I felt like Whoville, like when the Grinch was calling, yeah, Ebenezer who? You know, I'm calling everybody up. Hey, yeah, this is composed. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Yeah, I'm calling them to say, so I'm sorry. No, it's not a joke. No, I'm super sorry. For what? Tell me. And I'll apologize because I can't remember half the stuff I probably put you through. I did that after I got saved. And I still do that today when I come to mind, don't I? I do. It matters. It matters. Forgiveness is required. Don't let unforgiveness bind you. But don't let forgiveness, say ungiven. Let God fix them. It's not your job. It's not your job to fix them anymore. It's not your job. It starts with ask God. This honoring thing starts with ask God. And here's the thing that I have to learn quite frequently. Don't guess what God wants you to do. Don't assume what God wants you to do. Because you don't know everything. You don't know everything. Sometimes you think you know everything, but you don't know everything. Pastor, but you got to check yourself and say, have you been able to forgive? Are you stuck somewhere? I want you to hear this, and this is important. Maybe, just seriously, maybe them being forgiven is all the honor they're ever going to get. Maybe them being forgiven is all the honor they're ever going to get. But how many know when you were forgiven, that's the greatest honor you ever received? Forgiveness. Sometimes I just gonna release forgiveness, right? Because it's the greatest power in the world. I don't got to reconnect with you, but I will forgive you. Changes the atmosphere, changes your heart. I remember the first time I felt forgiven. I couldn't. But God, I had to go back with him. But you remember about this one? Man, I told you about this, but are you serious? You're going to forgive me for that? I was an idiot. Man. So how to honor? Say, I'm going to check with the Lord. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be prolonged. We'll pop back to the scripture. Sorry. That your days may be prolonged in the land the Lord your God gives you. Say, Lord, help us then. Right? Start. That was just one. Doesn't that feel like a week of sermon right there? One? That's how the, yeah, it's a week of sermon right there. Exodus 20, 13. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit murder. Unjustified, deliberate homicide. I have a picture of how a response should be to that. I think I have a picture. Duh. To me, that's a no-brainer. Anybody else, like, we got to debate that? Why did you pull that out? No. You should be able to just kill people whenever you want to. You know, that's the way it should be. Freedom. Anybody? If so, I really think you should get some therapy. Okay. Some of us, though, maybe, if I just pull over for a second, maybe we should go read what Jesus has to say about unchecked anger towards our brother. Maybe. Say it's hard. Also, here's a little caveat to that slide. Sheep should not run with wolves. Don't tolerate sheep in your wolf pen anymore. Or don't tolerate wolves in your sheep pen anymore. Don't tolerate wolves in your sheep pen anymore. That's part of your problem. God's going to talk to us about a shepherd today and what he does and how he needs to be a shepherd. And sometimes we let these things go unchecked in our lives, and there's these wolves in our lives. We just need to forgive them and get rid of them. Don't run with them no more. Don't let them violate you over and over again. Say, Pastor, move on. Okay. Exodus 20, 14. You shall not commit adultery. Wait, now shouldn't this kind of be a no-brainer too? But for the benefit of the doubt, I'm serious. They may have needed detailed explanation. Ever need a detailed explanation on something? Like, just break that down for me a little bit. They may have needed detailed explanation. Part of the reason is their Hebrew culture. They have different marital statuses and levels than we had that our culture doesn't operate under, right? So God, who's cool, he decided he was to define marital commands. And God was going to define sexual practices and standards. He does that, yeah, in his word. And you'd be shocked the amount of stuff that a married couple can get connected with. But he has rules and laws of the way he does stuff, right? He has standards. Sometimes I need stuff spelled out for me, right? Like, don't, Pastor, he's like, go to the store and get this and this and that, and then don't check the change. And, oh, no, write that down. I just said celery. I'll forget it. Just put it down. Write it down. So seek God on stuff, especially if he repeats it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's important. It's the stuff that our culture's been sweeping under the rug, and it's about to cause major heartache in the children of the world. Jesus and his New Testament writers expounds on marital intimacy and sexual sin, Hebrews and Matthew and Corinthians. Here's the bottom line. Say, do stuff God's way, and it's a blessing. Do not do God's stuff. It's a bummer. Say, no bueno. All right. Exodus 20, 15. That's a big topic. I would love to, if this was a convention, I'd pull over there because it's part of the problem with our culture today. There's no standards that people live by, and God's standards are antiquated, and they're not. God's standards are healthy. And if you're a professional counselor, trust me, I've seen the abuse of what they say the standard is, and tell you how most of the people got the way they were, and it started with abuse. 100%. I challenge that. I've been doing this for counseling somehow degree for 25 years, and it's 100% true. Stop damaging kids. Do things God way, and it's a blessing. Don't do things God way, and it's no bueno. If you're non-Spanish speakers, that's no good. Exodus 20:15. You shall not steal. Not steal secretly. They're not. It's not a big deal. What? Did they give you the change back? Did they give you too much change? Yeah, it's no big deal. We got to get out of here. No one's going to know us. Man, 48 cents. I know we are the church. I'm just helping. I didn't even say it. God did. You shall not steal secretly. You shall not steal openly. You shall not steal fraudulently. You shall not steal through carelessness. You shall not steal secretly, openly, fraudulently, or through carelessness. It's a good time to find Jesus real quick. Let's pull over to Jesus because it's a really heavy, deep root Sunday. Let's just back it up. Who wants a little Jesus right? You could use a little Jesus sprinkle. Like Dr. I's like, sprinkle Jesus on. Pastor Sean, sprinkle Jesus. Okay, Matthew 22. Sprinkle Jesus right here. A Jesus moment. Then the Pharisee. Oh, Matthew 22, 15 through 22. It's been that kind of week. I understand technology. I don't need you. I have the word written down. If you can turn, tap, flip, fold, or other ways, scroll. Or, thank you, Lord, appear, you know. Matthew 22, 15, 22. Then the Pharisees went and conspired together, plotting how to trap him. To trap him by distorting what he said. To trap him by distorting what he said. Don't take my name in vain. To trap him by distorting what he said. Ever hear a story and you only get like this much of it, and then you hear the rest of the story and you go, oh, okay. Yeah, it was a close game. They got blown out. Don't tell me the final score. They got blown out. You didn't see the game. You heard the final score, but let me tell you how terrible it was. I'm talking about last week's NBA game. It was terrible. Trap him by distorting what he said. Boy, don't they do that? Ever have someone distort your words? Misrepresent you? But they're your words, but they got used in such a way that didn't convey what you're trying to convey. Anyone ever do that to you? Jesus knows. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians saying, teacher, teacher, we know that. We know that you are sincere and that you teach the way of God. We know that you're sincere and that you actually teach the way of God. You teach the way of God truthfully. Truthfully without concerning yourself about what others think or says about your teaching. I love that about Jesus. I do. For you are impartial and do not seek anyone's favor. And you treat all people alike regardless of status. Disciples say facts. Facts. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it permissible, according to Jewish law and tradition, to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of the malice, asked, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Like, almost want to say, don't you recall? You just said, I teach the truth. You said, I teach the way. You said, I am. All of those things. You just said that. And forgive me, I'm going to help not to put my tone into this, but this is how I hear it. I kind of hear it like the tone of, okay, you bozos, listen. It's kind of how I get the vibe in this from Jesus. You hypocrites, show me the coin. Show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness is on there? Oh, it sounds a little snarky to me. He knows whose likeness is on there. Whose likeness is on there? Sometimes you don't understand, but sometimes when leadership, Moses gets a little snarky, a little frustrated. And sometimes if you've ever led anything, it's different being the leader. And being next to the leader. Or ever work your way up in the company and not be the boss and thought the boss was an idiot? And then you worked your way up in the company, you became the boss, and you realized, no, you were the idiot? Everyone knows how to run your company, right? but they don't know how it's like to run your company. Jesus. Sometimes he gets on to him, Jess. It's like, all right, whose picture's on there then, bro? And he didn't throw the bro when I did, it's me. Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said Caesar's. Then he said to them, then pay to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. That's your tax. That's your thing. That's what you do. That's what you're committed to. We're America. Okay. Don't be fraudulent. Pay the things that are Caesar, they're Caesar's. And to God, the things that are God's. Here's one of my favorite parts of all this scripture. And then when they heard this, they were caught off guard. And here's their very best part. And they left him and went away. Yes, Jesus, good answer. Way to get rid of those characters, you know? See, so far, this is what we've learned. You ready? Okay. Figure out how he desires you to honor your parents. Some of us, that's just forgiveness. Just straight up forgiveness. I need a forgiveness. I'm going to give forgiveness away. Sometimes it's clean your room like they asked you to. You know? I don't know. Say, don't murder. Duh.
Right.
Don't commit adulteries. And if you're not sure if they're adulteries, ask God. Go check his word. He'll tell you about it. He'll tell you. How about this one? Say, have integrity. Don't take advantage of people or systems. You know, I had to admit, I confessed this already to Father Adamski in third grade, so I was forgiven back then. But I was a poor kid working my way through, I had to work my way through school my whole life. You know, I'm not kidding. Like in third grade, I'm picking up bingo in the mornings. It's like a cloud, just like where you can smoke in public. You know, and I was just tall enough to walk through the cloud of smoke. And you're just picking up bingo chips, right? And then my mom would clean afterwards. Other places at the rectory and stuff. So I'd be hanging out with all these bingo chips because I just thought they were cool. Before people stamp stuff, there was actual bingo chips, all different colors and sizes. I discovered if you take certain size bingo chips to the fire station, it accepts it as dimes and you can get gumballs. You did that too. We went to the same school. We know. Did it. Just because I could do it doesn't mean I should have done it. It's only a dime. It's only a gumball. It's only lack of integrity. It's only stealing. Say, the Lord has ways and commands. Keep plowing, Pastor. I can hear you. It feels like a long sermon already, doesn't it, Andrew? You're like, dude, Pastor, you're... No, this is the rest of the commands, you know? Exodus 20:16. You shall not testify falsely. That is lie. You shall not testify falsely. That is lie. You shall not lie. You shall not lie. You shall not lie. Don't be a liar. There's a difference between telling a lie and getting caught and repenting and just being a liar. You know? But he says, not only don't be a liar, but do your best not to even lie. No, honey, that's the best I ever ate. That's good. I love spinach dump cake. So good. Just say, babe, you know what? That's not your best, man. I love myself. Your burgers are fantastic. This dump cake, we can have it again sometime in 2027, you know? Anyways. You shall not testify falsely, that is lie, withhold. You may know truth, you don't let it go, and it hurts people's lives. You're a conspiracy to the liar. That ain't easy. Do not withhold or manipulate the truth. Here's a little bit of the truth, and I'll do it just enough to get you to do what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. Obey your parents and the Lord, for it is right. shouting at them as they run out the door. We'll stop smacking them around with a belt, and maybe they might. Get back behind the pulpit. I know, too high. I almost brought my katana blades. I'm glad I did. The word's sharper than a two-edged sword. And sometimes in the thorny place of Zion, remember Zion means thorny. If we don't let these things poke us, then we're going to be infected with these things. And we're going to infect other people. And we're not having good news come out of our life. It's having something else. Right? You shall not lie. You shall not withhold or manipulate the truth against any person. Good character and integrity and honesty are very important. If you had a chance to go with a company that made shoes, and they are absolutely atrocious for human trafficking, and their CEO was a strip club owner, and he abused dogs for a regular season during horse racing, I would hope you wouldn't choose his company over someone who doesn't do that. Like, sometimes you got to stand up and just stand for integrity. It may cost you a buck more, but goodness sake, what is your integrity worth? So I am the church. I am the worship team. I am the worship team. We have the greatest worship team in Arizona. Say, I am the worship team. We do. Man, I tell you, anyways, I'm just so proud of you. Every time I go back and tell Hannah, they did good. The worship team is doing great. What do you mean the worship team? There was, you know what, three or four of them? Yeah. No, there was like 75. That's great. Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet. Don't look at your watch. You shall not covet. That is, selfishly desire and or attempt to acquire your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant or his female servant or his ox, his job, his business, his employees, or his estate, or his donkey, his sweet ride. Or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Say, do not covet. Now, this jealousy, well, God says he's jealous. I love that. People that love to debate stuff, you know their heart's always great. You know, God's jealous. Okay, this is the difference. You ready? This God's jealousy, his God desires what he should rightfully have. God desires what he should rightfully have. Look, you owe me your life. I should be the center focus. I rescued you. I died. My son died on the cross. I provided for you a way to eternal life. I've done everything and all the things that you knock on my door all the time for. Think of all the miracles I've done for you. I deserve your love. And I won't let you share it with anybody else. But keep your eyes off that over there. Keep your eyes on me. I'm the one you love. Don't get distracted like, ooh, no, no. That's what he deserves. This jealousy is wanting stuff that someone else has and you don't. Man, if I just had. Pastor can talk all that, but that's great. Your eyes are sweet. 2014 Equinox. Man, that Equinox is so fly. If I just had, if I drove that Equinox, I would fatten those tires up. You know. Yeah, so easy for, you know. So easy for Jody. His kids all love him and nice to him. My kids are lunatics, you know. Come on. How often is somebody that you know looked at somebody else's life and, well, if I just had that, if I really want that, I can't believe that. I'm going to come on Facebook. Must be nice to be at the beach. You weren't saying it must be nice to be at the beach. You were being snarky, but no one knows. Because you didn't put an emoji. Right? Come on. It's church. I cannot lie. Can't lie. That type of jealousy over what others have? Stop. If you don't have it, ask God why. tell you or say, because that's not for you. And you've been stuck there for so long, marching around wanting something you can't have, that you left your life a long time ago and you're bitter because someone else has something you wanted. Anybody know anybody like that? I watch people die from that. So we hear you, Pastor. It's very thorny. Say, is very thorny. Okay, it's very thorny. Okay, Exodus 20, 18 through 21. Now all the people witnessed the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the smoking mountain. Now, when I read this, it kind of sounds like a PTSD recantation. You know, seriously, you watch the movies like, oh, is that, I'm a storm chaser. When it starts lightning out, I'm like, I'm outside going, where's, look at that. It was like, it's lightning. I know it's cool. But this is the kind of storm that causes them to like wet their pants. This is the kind of storm that makes them go, oh, the world's coming to an end, you know? It must have been scary. The thunder, the flashes of lightning, the sounds of the trumpet, and the smoking mountain. Can you imagine all of a sudden if just superstition had a regular thunderstorm? Crazy one, right? Just a regular one. And so it was covered in smoke because the fire from the bushfire over there. And so it's fire and smoke and lightning. You'd be like, wow, that's scary. But then all of a sudden you hear trumpets, blasting, blaring trumpets. You'd be like, oh my goodness. Jesus is coming back right this second. Right? You'd be freaking out. That's where they are, at the base of the mountain, freaking out. The people were afraid, and they trembled, and they stood at a distance. Yeah, the mountain is crazy. As they back it up, you know, like, yeah, come on, check it out. Yes, it's good. I love that mountain. I'm going to stand over here, you know. Then Moses said to the people, no, then they said to Moses first, you speak to us and we will listen. Uh-huh. You guys are so good at that. We promise this time, Moses. We pinky promise. Everyone? Israel, do we pinky promise? We do. We all do. You speak to us and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us or we will die. So I kind of have a paraphrase. You ready? It's like, Big Mo, sir, we all voted, and it's cool with us if you just go to God for us. Like, we're all just in favor of that. Like, you go to God, and then you tell us what he said. Can you do that for us? Yeah, we'll up your benefits as leader, for sure, for sure. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Ever have someone tell you not to be afraid and it really just help you not be afraid? Yeah, like, don't be afraid, but there's a shark in there. It's okay. He probably ate today. How do you know his dining habits? I'm not getting in there. Don't be afraid. Uh-huh. I'm not. I'm being smart. Moses said, don't be afraid. For God has come in order to test you. Say, sounds familiar. Doesn't it? Do not be afraid. You might be in a season right now that this means a lot to you. Don't be afraid. God has come to test you. Do not be afraid. God has come to test you. Don't be afraid. God has come to test you. You're like, Pastor, don't look at me so creepily. In order that you would fear him, that is a profound reverence for him. Say respect. Hasn't it been all about that from the beginning? Respect. That's what he's looking for. Love and respect. In order that you'd fear him with profound reverence for him, a profound reverence for him will remain with you. So why? Why is it good to have a good respect and fear of God? So that you do not sin. So that you do not sin. That's what it says. Why is it? It's good sometimes to have fear of something so you don't do something stupid to hurt yourself and regret it later, right? I mean, that's a tough word to hear because we don't like to have to fear, respect God, to think. But if you're like, I don't want God, who I love, who's done a lot for me, to be so discouraged me or to have the consequences that he says from this action, if I were to do it, though it would feel great right now, the consequences could destroy everything possible, or I could get away with it, but I don't know. And you're in that moment. Isn't it good to go, God, I love you and I'm afraid of you. I won't. The only reason I'm not doing this right now is because of you. Ever been there? Ever been there? Really? Ever been there? And if you've never been there, I don't know. Sometimes you got to have a fear of something, right? A healthy fear of something. We teach our kids to fear fire. Why? Because it can hurt you. Watch with sharp knives. Why? Because it can hurt you. Well, let them learn a lesson. They cut a couple fingers off to learn. No, that's not good parenting. It's not great parenting. A parent says ahead of time, hey, now that you're doing dishes, I want you to be careful of the sharp knives. Oh, no, no, I've watched. No, no, be careful of the sharp knives. Why? Because I had a friend. We call him Lefty. So don't. Be careful. Instead of just going, hey, let's just see how they do with the knives, babe. Boy, it's their first time. Let's just see. See them get all cut up and stuff. They'll learn. That's bad parenting. Our Father says, hey, 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 here's a list of 10 things that I'm absolutely serious about that will destroy your life. And I love you so much. And the consequences to not making them important will be devastating. And I want you to, whenever you're tempted to do some of them, I want you to be absolutely afraid and respect who I am at that moment. Say, I'm the church. I'm learning. Respect. Yeah. So the people stood at a safe distance. Oh, man. No matter what Moses said, they're like, no, that's cool. Yes, we get it, but you still go. The people stood at a safe distance. Another one of my favorite verses. But Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. I think that's what he's asking us to do. Jesus, it's time we approach the thick, scary cloud of what God wants to say and do in our lives with respect. Instead of drawing back from him, let's go towards him. Let's go towards him. Yeah, it's scary. There's trumpets and lightning and thunder and smoke. But if God's there, I'd rather be there with God than someplace else without him. I'd rather be on the scary mountain with God than in the Bahamas without him. Right. So this is obviously a love verse. This is Deep Roots Season 3 concluded. And I want you to go ahead and keep reading if you want to. But I do want you to think about some things. I want you to ask God to show you stuff this season in your life, because I believe he's looking for Joshuas. I believe this is a generation who says, who's going to follow the Moseses and seek me with all their heart and soul, where I become the center focus of their life, and I'm really to have them be used to stand up in their generation and proclaim what God is doing, because Moses, my servant, will be dead. Where's Joshua? And I believe he's saying to the church that season, Joshua season is coming. And we got to be ready, right? We got to be ready. He's looking for us. So who's going to seek him? Who's going to stand up and take back cultural turf that was stolen? Who's going to take back cultural turf that was stolen? Instead of just being complainers, why don't we stand up just for righteousness? Not shouting at a picket line, but loving like God. And then have your life look exactly like your words. Imagine how powerful the church would be then. Say, I am the church, and I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Heidi, after communion, if there's time, we may do something. If not, I'm turning it over to you for communion this morning.
Amen. I want to take you very quickly to Matthew 5, and it says, don't misunderstand why I have come. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I need you to make sure that you don't misunderstand why I have come. He said, I did not come to abolish that law of Moses. I did not come to abolish it. I did not come to abolish the writings of the prophets. He said, no, I came to accomplish their purpose. He said, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth absolutely disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will ever disappear until its purpose is achieved. And Jesus continues and he says, so if you ignore the least of any of those commandments and you teach others to do the same, if you ignore them and then you teach other people to ignore them, because as many people say that the Ten Commandments, they're not for today. They were in the Old Testament. But Jesus himself said, if you ignore the least of them and then you teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and he teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so that's why Pastor's taking us through the deep roots, because that's where our roots come from. You know, this beautiful thing in the Jewish culture back in that time frame. When a man wanted to marry a woman, he would take his father with him, and he would go to the house of the girl that he loved, with her and her father sitting across from them. And the father of the son would give his son a cup of wine, and he would take that cup, and he would say, I want to give you this cup to this girl that he loves. And he's saying, this is my life. This is a representation of who I am. And I'm asking if you will take me. If you will take my life. And will you marry me? And this is after they negotiated a price for her between father to father. For the man who loves his wife. And negotiating that kind of price, it kind of was equivalent today of buying a house. And so after they negotiated the price and they agreed upon that, this man would take the cup and he would hand it to her, saying, I want to give you my life, and I'm asking, will you marry me? And when she would take that cup and she actually received it and she would drink of it, her answer was, yes, I want to marry you. And in exchange, I'm consuming that, and I'm also saying, I'm giving you mine. And isn't that the beautiful thing about Jesus, is that Father sent the Son and he said, here's my blood. As the bride of Christ, the church, I'm laying my life down for you. And Jesus is saying, will you marry me? And we have the choice whether we will drink of that cup or not. And so today, you have that opportunity once again. And so I want to ask you to come and get the elements. And I want you to think about that today as you do. I want you to take those elements back to your seat, and we're going to take communion together. But I want you to see that representation of God, or of Jesus saying, here's my life laid down for you. Will you marry me? And today is another day to answer once again. And so today, would you just come? The elements are in the three areas. If you just come and get your elements and take them back with you, so we can take communion together.